While members of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra continued their rehearsal on stage, Isaac Stern spoke again of the Ohio Theater.
As a matter of fact, I think that if this building can be taken over and exist, it's astonishing the state of the state of preservation. It's in beautiful shape. I don't know what it's behind the walls and in the pipes and so forth. But I would imagine from the way the outside is, the inside is very good, because it's been very solidly built. Another thing you won't get today, that kind of building. This is a treasure. And what I really don't quite understand is how the Symphony Society itself cannot see this as an enormous advantage financially to itself. This is an equity that they'll never lose. Every dollar put here is worth at least $1.50 or $2 5 years hence. It's an automatic increase of value, no matter what they do. This kind of property in the middle of the city is inevitably valuable, so that the equity is never lost. They'll get more money out of this than they would out of any campaigns or savings bonds or anything else in value held. So that money could always be guaranteed. And I understand the area next door is yours, which is developable, which could feed this area. All I can tell you is that the area next to Carnegie Hall is also, we have a parking lot, and we have a right to buy a section next door. We bought the hall for $5 million. I know that that area that we have next door, which is a quarter of the size of Carnegie, is worth almost $3 million as bare land, without any development whatsoever. Carnegie was bought for $5 million. Its intrinsic value with the area next door today is probably $12 million. So as far as finances are concerned, it doesn't make any sense to have to make, to go through all kinds of problems as to who should buy it. The Symphony Society should buy it and incorporate it as a non-profit entity, run it, and whatever the profits come out, put that into expanding the work of the orchestra as a non-profit institute. It works by itself. You have a magic gift here on hand.
I think that performing arts should be changed at all to attract more people back into the cities, for instance, for concerts, etc. How do you think we can keep people coming?
I don't think there's anything that the performing arts have to change. I think that people's knowledge of the performing arts have to change a little bit. And I think that the quality of the arts must always be kept at the highest level so that people will want to come. You know, my manager, Sol Hurok, is probably the greatest expert on box office in the world. He was once asked, what makes box office? He says, I don't know. He says, but one thing I know, when people don't want to come, nothing will stop them. You know? Now, the point is to find out, certainly there is an enormous amount to take the time and attention, the leisure time and attention. There's so many things going on today. Just TV alone is one. And then the various other enjoyments of leisure life, and the fact that the people live further and further from the center of the city rather than in the middle of it as they did before. Which only means that music must keep its interest level up at the very highest point, that it must keep its standards to the highest point. And there must be something also within the area of the going to the concert, which must vie as an evening on the town. In a place like this, there could be rooms for bars and a restaurant and whatnot. It would be a place to spend an evening happily and joyously. There's no reason why going to a concert has to be a difficulty. It should and can be a pleasure. But you need this kind of a surrounding for it. You've got it made here.
Do you think there should be any sort of government subsubsidy to performing arts?
Not the slightest doubt of it. There has to be matching. It has to be federal, but that will only give... I must explain, I'm a member of the National Arts Council. I was one of the organizing members and one of the founding members of it. We discussed it under President Kennedy. We put it into operation under President Johnson. President Nixon has just backed it with a $40 million bill. for the two for the arts and the humanities, $20 million each. Whether we'll get it or not, we don't know. I testified before a congressional committee about 3 weeks ago on the subject. There's no doubt that the federal government must put a subsidy behind the arts, not in the sense of business as a profit and loss venture. The arts are not a business. But the arts are the communal responsibility of every American citizen. And they reflect the value of the kind of life this country will have. If that is not the responsibility of the American citizen and his representatives in the Congress, I know very little else that is directly their responsibility, as quite as importantly as that. Also, I don't think that it will be possible for the major institutions to continue without direct subsidies, but matched by state, community, and individual grants from business, from private foundations, and from the private public as well. The government, the federal government, cannot be the sole source of support at any time. There are too many dangers in that, and it should not happen. It should only be that last bridge, whether it be 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, or 40%, remains to be seen how things develop and how what is needed in which area. But it should be clearly available where local impetus has made the original drive and shows its desire and eagerness to have a working artistic facility of all kinds. And that includes the theater, dance, museums, painters, choreographic studios, everything, as well as music and musical performance.